Voices for Justice is a podcast that uses adult language and discusses sensitive and potentially triggering topics, including violence, abuse, and murder. This podcast may not be appropriate for younger audiences. All parties are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Some names have been changed or omitted per their request or for safety purposes. Listener discretion is advised.
My name is Sarah Turney, and this is Voices for Justice. Today, I am discussing the case of Najib Monsif Jr., who is affectionately known as Juby. Juby is a 20-year-old male who went missing from Scottsdale, Arizona on September 23rd, 2021. So, as of recording this episode, less than a month ago. It's important to note that Juby has autism and functions at about the level of an 8-year-old, according to his family. His family fears that Juby may have been led away from his home, or possibly been picked up by a stranger as a crime of opportunity. I was first introduced to Juby's case when I saw his flyers pretty much all around Scottsdale and the North Phoenix area. I can't help it. Every time I see a missing person flyer, I have to stop and look. When I saw Juby's flyer, I snapped a picture and shared it on my Instagram. Then you guys sent me a ton of requests to share his story. Pretty soon, I got in contact with his sister, Josie, who asked if there was any way I could further share his story. So I invited her on the podcast to talk about it. This is obviously going to be very different from most of my other episodes. I mean, Juby has been missing for less than a month. When cases are this new, there just usually isn't much to report on outside of the basic facts of the disappearance. But I think that there's a lot here. On top of that, his family is truly doing everything they can to find him. There was no way I wasn't going to help. They are springing into action for Juby, and I want to do the same. Because there is such limited information about Juby's disappearance in the media, you're pretty much going to hear my entire interview with Juby's sister, Josie. She's really been at the forefront of getting media coverage for him. The thing is, Juby's case is hitting a wall right now with the Scottsdale Police Department. They've done searches, they're looking through Juby's electronics, but they haven't come up with much. They're running out of ideas and running out of leads. Juby needs us now more than ever. We all know how critical those first few days and weeks of a missing person investigation are. So I really hope we can help. But without further introduction, this is the case of Juby Monsif. This episode of Voices for Justice is sponsored by June's Journey. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while now or follow me on social media, you know that I love playing video games. It is absolutely my favorite way to de-stress. And I've been playing June's Journey for over a year now, and it has not gotten boring. If you don't know what June's Journey is, first, where have you been? And second, it is a hidden object mystery game. But it's much more than that. It incorporates this captivating detective story that takes you back to the 1920s. Each scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. There's mystery, danger, and romance. But as I've said before, one of my favorite parts is customizing my very own luxurious estate island. It's fun to bounce back and forth between the mystery and just kind of decorating. So if you are looking for a way to escape and something that is along the true crime realm in terms of solving a mystery, June's Journey is the game for you. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. This episode of Voices for Justice is sponsored by ZocDoc. I think we all have that friend in our lives that is the treat yourself friend, or maybe it's you. Whether that's getting a pedicure and opting for the extra 10-minute foot massage, refusing to make coffee at home because you have that fancy coffee shop right downstairs, or upgrading your seat on an airplane to get that extra leg room. But treating yourself can go so much deeper and apply to your healthcare. I know it's not the most exciting, but it is important. I'm gonna be honest, I avoided doctors for years because of the hassle in trying to find one. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. That is where I found my new doctor. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you. and instantly book appointments with them online. And what's really cool too is you can filter through these doctors to find one that can treat the condition you're specifically looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is just between 24 and 72 hours. Sometimes there's even same-day appointments. Like I said, this is how I found my doctor. Go to ZocDoc.com/justice and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/justice. ZocDoc.com/justice. Najib Monsef Jr. was born on December 22, 2000, in Akron, Ohio. However, the family soon moved to Arizona in order to get Juby access to better medical care. Here is Josie discussing Juby and this move.
So, my family, my parents, and my siblings and myself, there's four of us, grew up in Akron, Ohio. As soon as Juby was born, you know, things became different. We had to live our life a different way. Our brother had special needs. We had to adapt to that. And there was a lot more outreach in Arizona for kids with autism, for that community. And the weather in Ohio was just not great for Juby, his primary immune deficiency. It was too cold. We moved out here, I would say, maybe 15 years ago now. And, you know, he improved a lot. There was a great school system for him here. He started talking more, smiling more. Everything about our family has always surrounded Juby. Every family has problems, and we've always, always come back for Juby. He's just the light of our lives. And, you know, he's 20 now, and, you know, he hasn't been in school for a while since COVID. He hasn't really left the house much at all. But just a very, very kind kid.
I really wanted to get a better understanding of what Juby is like outside of what I've read in the media. So here is Josie explaining a bit more about Juby.
So Juby was involved with Miracle League a few years back. It's a nonprofit organization for kids who have special needs, who get the chance to play baseball with volunteers. He was very involved with that a few years back, and he loved it. His theme song for when he walked up to the plate was the Rocky song. So that's where we had our candlelight vigil in hopes of his return and prayer, was the Miracle League Park of Arizona. He loves video games. He is always in the house. He doesn't really like leaving the house. He is always on YouTube. He's always sending me, you know, like top 100 funny animal videos on YouTube. He loves playing PS4 with my brother, who is away at school, George. George is his favorite person in the world. Whenever George is in town for the weekend or on Christmas break, Juby is always so excited to see him. Loves video games, loves the computer, loves his DS, things like that. My dad got him a puppy about a month or two ago, who he named Buddy. He has been so excited about his puppy, Buddy, always sending me pictures and videos of him. Just a very, very kind, gentle person.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like he's happy.
He is happy. He's surrounded by an infinite amount of love in our family. He knows how much we love him, but he's also very self-aware, and he knows he has special needs. He knows he's autistic, and he, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine what that would be like to watch your siblings grow up and to watch them move out of the house to go to college. And one by one, you know, we all had to move out, and he lives at home with my dad, who is a full-time caretaker of my brother and loves him so much. But I'm sure that comes along with frustration to, you know, be stuck at home and your siblings aren't home, and your favorite sibling, George, he's at school. You know, I can only imagine that's pretty frustrating. As happy as he is and as great of a life as he has, that's, you know, a personal battle that I can't relate to. And it would be hard for a lot of us to understand that.
I think that that's a really good point, honestly. You know, and before we get into, you know, the events of the day that he went missing, you know, I have to ask, do you think that he would have left the house willingly to go maybe find George?
I don't know if he would have left to find George. As I'll get into, he said something to George that would say otherwise, but I think it's possible he would have left the house, maybe on some whim, to get out, for who knows what reason, but 3 weeks pass and it's no longer, you know, a kid saying he's going to run away or he'll be back. That's just no longer the storyline anymore, whether he left the house or not, whether he had the intention to leave or not. It's no longer, I strongly believe, his want to be gone. Like, he wants to come home, and I have no doubt in my mind he would be home if it was his choice.
So let's talk about the last day. I know that it kind of unfolds over the night before and then the morning of. Can you walk us through that?
So September 22nd, he was leaving my mom's house to come home to my dad's. He spent a few days at a time with my mom. He was coming home to my dad's and he hugged my mom goodbye saying, "You're never going to see me again." And, you know, he waved it off. Kids say things sometimes. He sometimes says things, you know, that we have to take with a grain of salt. And, you know, it was waved off. And later that evening, he was playing PS4 with my brother on live, and said goodnight to him, maybe around 9 p.m. And he said, "You're never going to see me again." And George was like, "You know, what do you mean? I'll see you soon." And Juby said, "You know, never mind, never mind." Went to bed, or George went to bed. And Juby stays up very late. So my dad was asleep downstairs. And from that bedroom, the door is open and you can see out into the house. So around 2 a.m., I guess that would technically be September 23rd in the early hours of the morning, Juby came downstairs, walked down the stairs to throw away his trash. He stays up very late, like I said, so this wasn't unusual. It was like any other night. My dad woke up and saw him walk down the stairs to throw away his trash. He fell back asleep. And in the morning, my dad woke back up, checked on Juby in his bed, and Juby wasn't in his bed. He wasn't in the house. My dad called my mom to see if for some reason she had him. She said no, and he immediately called the police. You know, I was called. My siblings were all called. We all came home. The police were swarming the area. We had the whole neighborhood looking. Everyone was looking, and, you know, the 2 mile radius, the desert behind my dad's house, stores, no one had seen him. He wasn't there. And that day was a very long day, and he was expected to be found by both the police and my family. We all expected him to be found wandering around within a couple hours, and he was not found. And when night came, you know, my family and I knew that he was not alone. He was taken. Something had happened. He got in the car. He wasn't there. There was no doubt in our mind that something had happened.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. And I mean, there's a lot to break down here. So let's start first with, of course, you know, the statements from Juby. What do you make of that?
It's hard to go in a direction with that. You could go in the direction of he could have been talking to someone. He could have had a plan that he's going to meet someone that night. You could go in the direction of, you know, kids say things, and he could have had the intention to leave the house and said, "You're never going to see me again," and walked on foot, but then somehow, for whatever luck, came in contact with the worst person he could have come in contact with. And then they took him. He, you know, it would be the same thing as an 8-year-old saying, "You're never going to see me again," and then vanishing for 3 weeks. It doesn't take away at all from how dire the situation is. But of course, we're taking into consideration what that could have meant, and if it meant he was meeting someone.
Of course, yeah. I think that that's my first fear, is that he was groomed. You know, has George looked at, you know, his PS4 friends list? I mean, I'm sure he has. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But I'm just wondering, if they played with the same types of people, did he ask anybody?
So forensics has all my brother's electronics, his phone, both his computers from my mom and dad's house, and his logins and his PS4. They're still looking into it. But as far as we know, Jubi only spoke to my brother and obviously my family members and a couple of family friends that were George's childhood best friends that know Jubi very well. Those, as far as we know, are the only people that he talks to on PS4. And when we looked at it, we didn't see any other communication with anyone else. Obviously, forensics could take a deeper look. They're getting a subpoena and for all of these companies to, you know, rake through any information they can. But the hard part is they're reaching the end of searching his electronics with not one clue, with not any evidence that he was talking to anyone, which just makes this even more scary and confusing. Because if he wasn't talking to anyone, did he just leave on a whim and come in contact with someone? Or who knows why we haven't found anything on his electronics? That would have been our biggest hope of finding a clue as to where he went and if he was talking to someone, and they haven't found anything.
Right. And I understand that he left his cell phone at home, so it's not as if they're able to, you know, ping it and try to track his whereabouts. And they, as far as I read, they haven't been able to find any surveillance. Is that still correct?
They checked all surveillance cams in the area, all shopping centers, neighbors' video cameras, anything you can think of. There is not one sighting of my brother, not one on camera, not one in person. The last time we have evidence of seeing my brother is when he came downstairs at 2 a.m. to throw away his trash. There has not been one confirmed sighting of him since then.
I mean, it just blows my mind. I feel like every other person on my block, you know, has a Ring doorbell camera. I imagine it has to be similar in your neighborhood.
There are people that have them. Unfortunately, you know, all they're capturing, those cameras are designed to, you know, capture if someone walks up to the house, if someone walks up to their door. Jubi didn't do that, so that didn't capture anything. And as far as any street cameras or store cameras, they capture, you know, headlights passing by. But, you know, the police are looking into that, obviously, but there's not any sighting of like Jubi walking down the street, getting into a car, going up to a house, nothing. Like, him as a person has not been captured on camera just walking at all.
Wow. Well, and I know that, you know, the biggest theory right now is that he was possibly taken. I mean, how far do you think Jubi could have gotten on his own just walking?
This is very important to note that my brother is not athletic. He's a very weak person. He's very vulnerable physically and mentally. He's maybe 5'10", 5'11", and 100 pounds. He can't run. He walks with a pretty distinct shuffle-like manner. He can't jump. He can't climb. That's why I state he would have been found walking around the neighborhood. I don't think he could have gotten farther than a mile. He is without a doubt, someone picked him up, whether it was willingly or not. This is still a kidnapping to take a child. Even if he is fine, even if someone is thinking they're helping him, they have my brother and they will be prosecuted because this is not by choice. Jubi would be home by now. He would not have gotten far, and he is just not in the media area. And I don't know how to put myself in the shoes of someone who would take an autistic child, but I would imagine they wouldn't have stayed in the area.
If Jubi ran into somebody, do you think that he'd be able to tell them his home address?
Another issue, no. I think that we know Jubi doesn't know his address. He doesn't know our phone numbers. He knows not to leave the house without a family member. This has never happened before. He is never without his phone, which obviously has all of our contacts in it. But there's just never a situation where he's alone in the first place. Jubi doesn't know his address. If he were to come in contact with someone, he would ask for help. If he's out there alone or with someone, he would ask for help because I know he wants to come home and this is not something he wants. Whether he wanted to leave, it's definitely not the case anymore 3 weeks later. And it's very unfortunate. Yeah, he doesn't know his address. He wouldn't know how to get home. And I would just pray that if he does walk up to someone and ask for help, they will listen and realize this child needs attention immediately and call the police.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have to ask, I understand that, you know, dogs were able to pick up his scent near a local Albertsons. Is there anything significant about that to you?
The Albertsons is located very close to our neighborhood. It's possible he could have walked there. However, cameras leading up to that area did not capture him walking by. We had a neighbor in particular who had a Tesla who did not capture anything of him walking in that direction that entire night. And the police confirmed that sometimes the dogs aren't accurate. They did tell us that. And they followed up with Albertson's surveillance cameras, and there was no footage of Juby being there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. Those dogs can be wrong, unfortunately. So I think that maybe that's just not something for people to take into serious consideration then.
Either way, if it was, the scent stopped abruptly. So even if you were to take that into heavy consideration, he was picked up or got in the car or something. Because people don't just vanish. And if a trace stops, you know, that means someone got in a car. And even if he was picked up from that area, you know, either way, he's with someone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reason I ask about the significance of the Albertsons is because I know as a kid, I actually, I wanted to live inside of an Albertsons. So I was wondering if maybe that was his favorite store or just somewhere he loved to be that would make sense that he would walk there.
No, there's not really any significance to that place. I mean, my dad shops there for groceries. Juby doesn't like leaving the house. A lot of people are asking, well, what's his favorite spot? What's his favorite place to go? He has places he's familiar with that are all very close to my house and have all been thoroughly checked. But again, he got very sick before COVID. He has primary immune deficiency. He can't leave the house during COVID. So in the past 2 years, he's barely left the house and he doesn't like leaving the house. So it's hard to pinpoint, you know, oh, he would definitely go here or there. Either way, you know, those places we've checked countless times and he's not there. And it's just very unfortunate that to have to say, you know, there's not a one place he would be, one place he would go, because this isn't something he would do. He's never left the house, especially for 3 weeks. So nothing is out of the question anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just so crazy. I mean, and I think it's important to note that here in Arizona, I mean, I'm in North Phoenix, very close to Scottsdale. At the end of September, it's still really hot. And it's not like we're a community where we're walking around everywhere in 100-degree weather. So it doesn't make sense that he would just walk somewhere and stay away in that type of weather.
No, and he left with nothing but the clothes on his back. It's been 3 weeks. He didn't have any water. He didn't have any food. There was a point 3 to 5 days later where the police were looking for a body and, again, nowhere to be found. And God forbid that would be the situation, but if it was, he still would have been found by now.
Yeah. I mean, I do have to say that it from the outside looking in, it looks like the Scottsdale Police Department are doing everything they can. Have you been happy with how they've worked the case?
We have been, you know, even though they go by a protocol and they cannot say to the public that this is a kidnapping because there's no evidence of a kidnapping, but they also know there's no evidence that he's alone either. And one of the detectives on an interview, I believe it was today or yesterday, did say, we believe he's not alone. It's unfortunate that they have to go through a certain step process before considering that, you know, he's been taken. But as of now, they know that. Whether or not they can officially state that, they know, and they have said that they know he is with someone. And we are so grateful for everything they've done. And they're searching his electronics. They've used helicopters, dogs, horses. They've raked the area. But it does become frustrating when you hear them say, you know, we're coming up with nothing. And as a family, you just, what do you do when the police don't know what to do next?
Like I said, I first learned about the case by seeing a flyer. I think it was at Spirit Halloween by Paradise Valley Mall. I mean, can you tell me a little bit about your efforts outside of just what I'm seeing in terms of these flyers?
We've started a Facebook group, Finding Najib Juby Monsif. My personal Instagram and Twitter is Josie Monsif, and I have been posting updates, and we have you know, tens of thousands of interactive followers, reposting, retweeting, sharing on their stories. We've had a family friend create a GoFundMe account. We are now hiring a private investigator to take this into our own hands. We've looked into private forensics analysts. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that people aren't aware of. But from a public standpoint, I am doing interviews every day, trying to spread this word. I'm calling whoever I can. We conducted 2 searches and printed thousands and thousands of flyers. The following days after my brother's disappearance, we had an overwhelming amount of support from the community. We've obviously searched on foot for days, but it comes to a point where you know he's not in the area walking around, and you have to take it a step further. And that includes turning to the media and investigators. And that's what we're working on right now.
I mean, honestly, you guys are just absolutely amazing. I feel like this is kind of a silly question to ask, but I feel like I have to ask it. Is there anybody out there that you think could hurt Juby or would want to hurt him?
As far as a person we know that would want to hurt him, absolutely not. My family, you know, doesn't have that much immediate family in the United States. My dad's an immigrant. We keep to ourselves. You know, we live a normal life. Juby is very loved. Everyone in the community that knows who Juby is knows he's a very special person. He's endearing. Our family is held together by him. There's no one that would come to mind that would have the motive to hurt him. However, that is our fear, that he has come in contact with someone that is just not a good person. And there's no doubt in my mind that they're not a good person. Whether they have hurt him or not, they've taken him away from us. And who in the world would take away a child who has special needs, who needs their family, who can't, you know, function on their own? It blows my mind. And this is truly the worst thing that could ever happen to us.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in the off chance that Juby or this person who could have taken him is listening, is there anything you want to say to them?
I would want them to know that we are doing everything humanly possible to get my brother back. And if they have the kindness in their hearts to reach out to Scottsdale Police Department or my family to please give us any information. If you know something, if you know anything, to please contact Scottsdale PD. And if you can't find that kindness, you should know that this is never going to end, ever, until Juby is back. And you will be held responsible for whatever the situation is. And for Juby, I would want him to know how much we love him and we miss him dearly. And we're looking for him and we'll make sure he gets back okay.
Yeah. So Voices for Justice is all about not just listening to these stories, you know, it's about how people can help. So how can my listeners help? Is that the GoFundMe? Is that sharing his picture? Is it all of it? How can we help you?
I would ask everyone to follow us on our Facebook group, Finding Najib Juby Monsif. We have PDF flyers that you can print out, that you can pass to your workplace, your friends, email them to anyone you know, and just saturate your area. The more areas we can get, the better. If you can't physically help, we have a GoFundMe linked in my bios. My handle is Josie Monsif on Instagram. Those are all going towards my father's search efforts and costs towards, you know, private investigators and forensic analysts and things like that. Just don't stop talking about it. Don't stop sharing. If you know someone that could know someone that can help us, anyone in the media, in investigative teams, organizations, please reach out. You're more than welcome to message me or my family with any ideas or contacts. And, you know, lastly, if you find my brother, under no circumstances leave him. Just stay with him and call 911. Your resource is 911 if you know anything or you find him.
Perfect. I'll make sure I include all of that. Before we wrap things up, I always like to ask, is there anything you'd like to add, anything I didn't address, anything you want to make sure that makes it into this episode?
I would just want people to know that although my brother is 20 years old, he is a vulnerable child. Anyone that has a family member with special needs knows they are gentle. They would talk to anyone. They are friendly. And my brother needs his family, and we need him. And whether or not any of these facts that you're reading, you know, whatever ideas that people say, this is a very dangerous situation. No matter if he's with someone who thinks they're helping him or not, he needs his family, and this person is not helping him in the long run. They're taking him away, and we need to find him.
This episode of Voices for Justice is sponsored by Quince. If you've been looking to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury essentials that are actually affordable, Quince is for you. They offer a ton of high-quality items with prices that are actually within reach. They have a huge catalog of things like organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. But hands down, the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. What they do is partner directly with the top factories. That way they cut out the cost of the middleman and pass those savings on to us. And another thing that I really like about Quince is that they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. I actually have three tops that are made of their cotton modal fabric. It's so soft and it just lasts. And you guys know that most of my wardrobe is the color black. And I will say that everything I have from Quince that's black has not faded, which is huge. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/justice for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/justice to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/justice. Please take a moment to share Juby's picture, support his family on social media, and donate to the GoFundMe if you can. Things like private investigators and forensics testing are extremely expensive. Please know that even if you can't give, sharing the fundraiser is very helpful as well. I will have all of the ways that you can help Juby's case linked on voicesforjusticepodcast.com and in the episode notes. As a reminder, Juby Monsif went missing on September 23rd, 2021 from Scottsdale, Arizona. He's a 20-year-old male that is about 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighs 100 pounds. He has black hair and brown eyes. He was most likely wearing dark clothing and moccasins when he went missing. It's also very important to note that Juby walks with a noticeable shuffle. If you do see Juby, please stay with him and call 911. If you have any information about Juby, please contact the Scottsdale Police Department at 480-312-5000. But as always, thank you, I love you, and I'll talk to you next time. Voices for Justice is hosted and produced by me, Sarah Turney. For more information about the podcast, to suggest a case, to see resources used for this episode, and to find out more about how to help the cases I discuss, visit voicesforjusticepodcast.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review the show in your podcast player. It really does help more people find the podcast and these cases in need of justice. Hey guys, welcome to the Secret After Show. This one is going to be short and sweet. I really just wanted to take a second and say thank you for listening. I know that this episode is really different from any of the other episodes I've done. I don't think I've ever really published a full interview like this. To be honest, it just felt very not authentic to pull out my questions and kind of re-record them to walk you through it. With Juby's case, we just don't have a lot of information out there in the media. So I just felt like publishing the full interview was the most authentic way to get his story out there. So thank you for listening. And I do hope that, you know, you did learn something. I hate to say the word enjoy it, but you guys know what I mean. To be honest, it's hard for me to do episodes like this. I really don't enjoy going to families and saying, okay, just tell me all about the worst day of your life. But again, without there being a ton of information out there, I just felt like this was the most appropriate way to tell Juby's story. So again, I hate to give you like a double call to action, but I would really love if you went and supported his sister. She needs some love and she needs some support, and she's doing a lot of this, you know, for her family. So please take a second and go show her some love, just like all of you guys showed me so much love. And I do want to take a second and especially thank my Patreon, my patrons. I'm like the worst at saying that word. I want to thank all of my supporters over on Patreon. Because of you guys, I am going to make a sizable donation to Juby's GoFundMe. It's something I like to do often. It's not something I talk about a lot, but I did just kind of want to feature that that's where a lot of this extra money comes from, is Patreon. I try to give back to these families all I can. So I just wanted to say, if you are a member of the Patreon, thank you. And you are contributing directly to Juby's fund. So you're awesome and I love you. And even if you're not on the Patreon, you're awesome and I love you too. I feel like I rarely give Patreon shout outs. It almost feels like an ad, but I really just wanted to say thank you guys. So as always, thank you for tolerating me in this after show moment. I love you and I'll talk to you next time.